The Mexican border is open, but crossing it may take more time. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. President Trump has backed away from threats to close the U.S.-Mexico border, saying yesterday he may levy tariffs on auto imports from Mexico instead. But while the border remains open, it's now taking significantly longer to cross. Marketplace's Andy Euler looks at what's causing the delays and how they're affecting cross-border commerce.
Earlier this week, the Department of Homeland Security reassigned 750 Customs and Border Protection officers from ports of entry to remote areas where the president claims undocumented immigrants are pouring into the country. Traffic at those ports of entry has slowed to a crawl.
We normally would cross about 25 trucks a day northbound. Yesterday, we were able to get about 10 across.
Alan Russell is CEO of Tecma, a company based in El Paso, Texas, that helps move products across the border. He says normally trucks wait between half an hour and 2 hours at ports of entry.
In some cases, it's taken about 12 hours to get a truck through.
A new study shows a traffic slowdown will be costly. Economic researcher Ray Perryman ran it.
If we had an overall reduction of one-third for about 3 months, that would cost the United States about $29.5 billion in gross product and the equivalent of about 275,000 jobs.
The situation at the border could get worse. Homeland Security warned it might reassign another 1,200 agents soon. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up nearly 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are up in the 1 to 2 tenths percent range, with the Dow future up 32 points. And in about 90 minutes, the Labor Department releases its monthly jobs report. The last report was disappointing, only 20,000 new jobs. The long-struggling Sears has sold off and closed stores by the hundreds. But now, after its former chairman bought the retailer out of bankruptcy last February, it's opening a few new ones. Those stores will be much, much smaller, as Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
The classic sprawling Sears department store was spread across multiple floors and huge rooms of clothes, appliances, electronics. Well, Sears' new home and life stores are not that.
It's going to be on one floor. There'll be no escalators.
The company's chief brand officer, Peter Boutross, says the new stores will be a tenth the size.
These are stores focused on home appliances, mattresses, Sears home services.
That might solve one of Sears' perennial problems, says Philip Emma at DebtWire.
It allows them potentially to focus on the things that the old Sears stores did well without the impediment of a lot of real estate where you have to sell the clothing and the items that they would have a really hard time competing with.
Sears' parent company still owns more than 200 of the classic department stores and a similar number of Kmarts. The company plans to launch the first 7 home and life stores Memorial Day weekend. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Cities, counties, and states are looking to hold pharmaceutical companies financially responsible for the opioid crisis. Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, is facing more than 1,600 lawsuits in state and federal courts. It agreed to a $270 million settlement with Oklahoma last month. Other cases have been filed against Johnson & Johnson and drug distributors. Marketplace's Caitlin Esch has been following some of these lawsuits while reporting on the opioid epidemic for our podcast, The Uncertain Hour. Hey, Caitlin.
Hi.
So you've spent a lot of time in a couple of communities that have filed lawsuits. What's motivating them?
Well, Wise County is in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, and it's in a region that's considered to be ground zero of the opioid epidemic that started there back in the late 90s. It joined a lawsuit against opioid makers, and also the tiny city of Norton filed a lawsuit. A few years ago, it had the second highest opioid prescription rate in the country, 5 prescriptions for every man, woman, and child. This is in a city of just 4,000 people.
Wow. So what does that look like? Give me an example.
Pain pills are harder to buy in the street now, but other drugs have moved in. And that's taken a toll on local businesses and public health, the criminal justice system, the courts. The local jail, its inmate population has doubled in the past 14 years. So these are the kinds of costs that are motivating Wise County and the city of Norton to file lawsuits.
And similar cases have been bundled together and are currently moving through a federal court in Ohio. You think these are the ones to watch?
Right. It's almost 1,600 federal cases brought by counties, tribes, hospitals, and others against opioid makers and distributors. And that's actually where Wise County's lawsuit is, and the city of Norton's could move there, too. Some of those cases will go to trial later this year, and what happens to them could give us an indication of how the others will play out. Ultimately, it could end in a huge settlement of tens of billions of dollars. Purdue is looking at bankruptcy to contain the company's liability. Filing for bankruptcy would freeze the individual lawsuits, and then they would probably be moved into bankruptcy court.
And you've been spending some time going through these court filings and others. What are you learning about how these companies operated?
Well, a lot of the allegations have been known for a while. Some of the details that are trickling out are new. Documents filed by attorneys general in Massachusetts and New York, for example, allege that problems went all the way to the top, that the Sacklers, the family that owns Purdue Pharma, directed a deceptive and illegal marketing campaign for its blockbuster drug OxyContin, even though they knew it was being abused and that people were overdosing and dying. The New York complaint alleges that Purdue tried to profit from a crisis that it helped create by developing drugs that treat addiction and selling them to people addicted to opioids, you know, presumably that they make, like OxyContin. I should note that Purdue and the Sacklers vigorously deny the allegations, and they say they are misleading and inflammatory.
Okay, Marketplace's Caitlin Esch, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The newest season of The Uncertain Hour, focusing on the opioid epidemic, is out now. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.